minister, a part that fit him like an old sweater and a pair of comfortable shoes. For others, the translation was more dramatic. Such was the case with Lauren Toos, best known as Julie McCoy, the effervescent cruise director on the Pacific Princess, or as it was aptly called, the Love Boat. Lauren played the memorable role from 1977 to 1984, although the Love Boat aired for 2 more years after her departure. She left the show for personal reasons, one of which was her escalating addiction to cocaine. I had heard from one of Fred's staff many years ago that Lauren had credited Mr. Rogers' neighborhood with giving her the strength to kick her cocaine habit. And I wanted to know for myself how a children's program rife with make-believe, factory visits, and music about childhood fears could somehow inspire an adult addict to find help. Lauren graciously shared her story. "I was at one point in my life seriously involved with cocaine," she said. "I also made many, many bad choices facilitated by that attraction. I was feeling on one particular early morning at home, sad, frightened, and lonely. The television was on and Fred Rogers' show was on the air. His signature opening touched me that morning and I realized that in the world, there was someone who really would be my friend." Lauren was a person in need, and it was for her that he prayed each day before entering the studio, "Dear God, let some word that is heard be yours." While others may have judged Lauren, and she may have even judged herself, Fred refrained from judgment. He had left that behind in a New England church many years earlier. "I didn't know at the time that that was God speaking to me through the instrument of Mr. Rogers," Lauren continued, "but I had a glimpse of hope and moved closer from that day to a cocaine-free life which I have enjoyed for decades now." Fred's intention was never to impose his beliefs on his viewers. Instead, he wanted to create an atmosphere, one that would allow viewers to feel safe and accepted. And that's what Lauren felt. Once the viewers experienced that unconditional acceptance, Fred reasoned, they could grow from there. And that's what Lauren did. Fred sometimes referred to his program as tending soil. His role was to provide the soil, and he relied on the Holy Spirit to turn it into holy ground. Fortunately, Lauren had an opportunity to express her gratitude to Fred in person. While I was the guest host on the John Davidson Show for a week many years ago, Fred Rogers was a guest on the show. I took the chance to tell him of my gratitude to him for making hope a reality in my life. He was extremely gracious. I was born in Pennsylvania, and my older sister called me the day Fred Rogers died to tell me. She said we watched him when we were little girls, and he was a local performer. She didn't know of my personal connection. Fred Rogers holds a warm spot in my heart, and I wish his family well. Others for whom this translation occurred didn't have the opportunity to express their appreciation to Fred during his lifetime. In fact, Kathy Larson Skye, a musicologist and a musician from Chapel Hill, North Carolina, was so disheartened by her missed chance to thank Mr. Rogers that she wrote him a letter after his death. Her love letter to my neighbor was published in her local newspaper. Kathy's story began when she was in her late 40s and finding it difficult to wrap up the work for her master's degree. She had completed the research for her thesis, but the prospect of committing it to paper and exposing it to the scrutiny of advisors and colleagues proved daunting. What she perceived at first to be laziness, she says, after applying for several extensions, grew to be more akin to terror. Attached to the completion of her degree were some childhood fears about being the smart girl and some adult fears about the lovability of intelligent women. Achieving meant being disliked and sometimes being hurt. Like Beth Sullivan,